Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, ladies, it's time for Marnie and Friends. There ain't nobody quite like Marnie. Leadership mentor to thousands of women from all six continents. Marnie's just full of great ideas, practical help, and soul-soothing encouragement for moms, team leaders, business managers, ministry mavens, and more. Never a dull moment and always a ton of fun. Join leadership mentor Marnie Swedberg right now for today's edition of Marnie's Friends.
Hi, everybody. This is Marnie Swedberg, and I welcome you to today's call, Marnie Friends. And we have a special guest today, Karen Saunders, who, Karen, would you describe yourself as a graphic artist?
Yes, I do. I am a graphic designer, and I'm also an author and publisher.
Okay. And I'm so excited to have you here today. I was introduced to you online by another speaker trainer, and I just fell in love with what you shared the day that I was listening in to your interview with her. And I was excited that you were so willing to come over here and to share this information with Mike Ellison. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so proud of you. I don't have any right to be proud of you, but when I look at your material, it is so polished. It is so professional, and you just have so many great ideas for speakers and for other people who have a message that they want to get across in a very professional way. So I'm delighted to welcome you here today.
Well, thank you. It's really a pleasure to be here today, and I'm anxious to get started and tell you everything I know about speaking.
Okay. Now, I do have a question for you. You're in the Denver area, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so I'm in Minnesota, so that's a long ways apart. But I see, like, one of the speakers at womenspeakers.com is in your PDF file that everybody gets to download for free. And if you haven't done that yet, just go ahead and click there on the link at Blog Talk Radio, and you'll be able to download that at no cost, which is Karen's wonderful gift to you today. But Elizabeth Hagen is in South Dakota. I mean, you have people from all over the place that have you help them with their graphic art. How does that work?
Well, I get a lot of people coming to my website, looking at some of my pages and information I share on speaker one sheets, logos, and book covers. That's my niche. And so as a result, I have a lot of authors and speakers as clients. And I serve whatever needs they need, whether it's branding or website design or speaker materials. So it's really fun to help folks in that area.
And you can do that regardless of where someone's located.
That's correct. I have clients all over the world now, so it's pretty
Isn't
fun.
That
Everyone's
awesome.
Got their own passion and their own platform that they're speaking on, so I learn something new every day.
Sure. Well, where should we start?
Well, we have the handout, and if you'd like to start with that, we can go through that sort of in a chronological order.
Okay.
And what this handout is not to really teach you to become a designer of sorts, to create your own design and create your own one sheet, but more to give yourself an idea of how to wrap yourself around crafting a one sheet, writing it, and getting the information together for a designer to put a professional polish on it. So what I'm going to give you here today is information that you can get pulled together and to write, and then when you're ready, you can hire a designer or editor to help you out with those aspects of this project.
Now, this is Marnie, and, you know, if somebody's at, like, the beginning of this whole stage where, you know, you have a very small market and you have a small budget and all that, you can really do it yourself. It's not going to look quite as nice, and it's not going to be as polished and professional, but it's a place to start, and then as soon as you can pull in a designer.
Yes, certainly. I know everyone doesn't have the budget right away to start off, but just keep in mind that your one sheet is a reflection of your professional exposure to the market. And if they see something that's designed, polished very well, they will make the assumption that you are a polished speaker
right.
as well, too.
That's so true. Okay, so are we starting with who is your target audience? Is that the right page? Okay.
Yep, page, I think it's page 3.
Yep.
Page 2 on your handout.
Page 2?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep, it is. Page 2. Sorry about that.
Are you there?
Yep.
Okay. On this handout has some places for you to fill in the information that you get from the call today. So go ahead and print it out if you'd like to and make some notations on it. Basically, I'm going to start with a sample one sheet that was created years ago for Steve Mertz. He's no longer a financial planner, but at that time that was his gig. And myself and my design colleagues at Mac Graphic Services put together this one sheet for him. And I'm going to use it as a sample to point out all the different components. Now, first of all, is your target audience. And what we have are basically three areas that you really need to write to when you're putting together your words for your one sheet. The first and foremost area is targeting meeting planners. These are the people who will be hiring you. They can be in corporations or they can be separate speaker bureaus or private companies, but these are the planners who are looking for speakers. So in the case of this Steve Mertz one sheet, the first paragraph that you see, the first section actually, on this one sheet is all targeted to that particular person, the person who will be hiring you. So what you're doing is you are presenting yourself as a speaker who can help solve your problem of whatever it is you want to share with the company, whether it's a financial planner who can share their secrets, who can get their audience alive and going, how Steve separates himself from other financial planners is that he's not boring. He's got a fun presentation. He gets the audience involved, and that's what a meeting planner is interested in, is someone who can really energize the audience and get them involved.
He starts right off here telling his experience, which is attending boring meetings, and then he says that's why he promises, he vows to never duplicate those boring experiences. So right in his first little two sentences here, he's definitely telling you what makes him unique. He's going to be funny. Can be fun.
Exactly, because he knows that there's a lot of boring financial planner speakers out there,
right.
And that's how he separates himself. So that's
sure.
All targeted to that meeting planner. That's
okay.
What they want
yep.
to know. Then the second audience is the actual audience members. What is he going to deliver to the actual participants in the audience? And that's what that second part of the first page is all designed for, is to really get those members thinking about how to create financial breakthroughs and rethinking the way they have positioned themselves and their assets in their life. So that is what that content's for.
Okay.
And
that makes sense.
To play on that, we put some graphics in there. This is a play on the Monopoly game, Get Out of Jail Free.
Right.
This is
right.
Financial purgatory. So we really try to dress up the one sheets to incorporate a theme that really elevates the speaker.
Okay.
Now, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
All right. And then the third component is for the executives of the company, and these are the people who will be paying for his presentation, and that's sort of wrapped in with the meeting planner portion of it too. So those are the three main target audiences that the one sheet should be geared for.
Okay, question then. On Steve's example here, you put the first and the third groups into the top section of the page and the second group on the bottom half. Is that kind of how you did it?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
And it's not that you have to do it that way. That is typically the way we do it, but it's not, carved in stone. So,
okay, yep.
But But we definitely want to put the thrust of the information, what he can promise to deliver, on the front page. You do want to put that on front page. And then the back page is basically geared for supportive information like the bio and that kind of thing. And we'll get
okay.
to that in a few seconds.
Okay.
So he's answering the question, what is the real problem that meeting planners have when hiring financial planners, financial advisors as speakers? So that is what he's addressing on that front page. And that's just switch the words out and put whatever it is your target audience is in your speaking platform is, and put that in there, and then you'll be able to write up your content for your specific needs.
Great.
Okay, so now we can move to page 3, and we have the components. Now, there's a number of components, so I think there's more components than I have lines there for it, so you'll have to write some notes on the sides as well. So the first components we've already addressed on the front side, and that is the key problems that you can solve for those three target audiences. And then the second most obvious component is your services and your programs. And oftentimes speakers will put their the names of the programs or keynotes on the one sheet.
Yep.
Now, I caution this a little bit, because especially when you're starting out, you're really trying to define yourself and your niche. And so oftentimes program names change quite a bit in the beginning, because you're really trying to find yourself and experimenting with what works and what doesn't work. So just keep that in mind, that they may change on a pretty regular basis until you get yourself down into a real good solid brand.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have credentials and qualifications, and this includes his bio and also the testimonials and client lists. So these are all results from others. And the first thing you really want to do once you start speaking, even if you're doing free presentations and free training sessions or consultation pro bono, you'll want to get those testimonials from folks. Send, make sure that you hand out a questionnaire at the end of the presentation, or ask for some kind of a testimonial from the principals of where you did your presentation. Those are very crucial to really getting the credibility that you need to establish yourself.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is Marty. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I thought you were done with that thought, but it's really, really important for people to keep good records of this kind of thing, even years. I remember when my first book came out, and after a few years, I thought, oh, I'll never use that again. And, you know, I'm really glad I saved all those notes, because guess what? Later I wrote a second book. So you don't want to get rid of that, because you're going to need that when you go forward to promote your next thing. Even a quote from way back, it might be just the perfect quote to go with the current project, even though it didn't match anything in between. So just have a file and save all that information.
Exactly. That is a great idea. I, in fact, do have a file myself as well, going back years. And, you know, when you start revising your website and adding pages, those quotations and testimonials come in handy then too, you know, putting it into websites. You never can have too many testimonials, so always can pick and choose from those.
Yeah, and just I know for me too, what's coming to my mind here is as I get comments back in the email, somebody will find something online or read something that I've written or whatever, and they will email me or send me a letter. But in my email bin, I actually have three different little file folders in the email bin. One says quote potential, one says quote pending, and one says quote quote, approved. So what happens is when I get a note from somebody that's very complimentary, they've really been happy with either the service or the product, I put it in quotes, potential. I reply to the person immediately and put it in quotes, potential. Then at some later date, I just will go through a bunch of them at once and reread them and see if it really was a good quote or if I just was happy at that moment and put it in the bin, being overzealous. But then I will just respond to some of those and just say, you know, I was looking at this again today, and it made me so happy when I received it. Would you ever consider allowing me to use it as a quote to publish it online? And most people will reply yes, they would. And I also, in that note, I asked them for, you know, their full name, and would they like me to just use their last initial or their full name, what city and state they're from, what organization they're with, and their role at that organization. I ask them questions like that that might come in handy if I ever choose to publish it. When they respond, then it goes into the bin that is quotes approved. And then that just sits there. And, you know, it's amazing when you're working on a new project and it's like you don't have time right then to go back and ask, you know, 15 people for quotes. But if you have that little quotes approved file there, that is what you're going to go draw from then in the middle of a project, and you can get it done today instead of waiting weeks to hear back from everybody.
Well, that is an excellent idea. I love that idea. I haven't gone that far, but I recommend that people follow your example. That's great. One other thing about quotes is if we can have more variety and distinctive, measurable benefits or results from whatever it is that they got from you, that always goes over much better than just saying, oh, that was a great book, or oh, that was a great talk. It's just much more accurate and measurable type of a quotation.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we have testimonials. The client list is another component. And again, that is something that's always going to be changing too, and you always want to switch out clients with more prominent type clients as you get them. And you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of clients here. Some people have a client list that goes from top to bottom. But, you know, just enough to really show credibility, I think, is what we're looking for.
And this is Marnie. And I would say if you don't have a client list yet, that's okay. Don't put a client list with two clients out there. It'd be better to just skip it for a little while.
Yeah.
He's got, even though his list is short, he's got some really impressive names on this list, some very large companies who have allowed him to speak to their employees. And so that's what makes it possible to have a list that short and have it be a goal. But if you've got, like, companies nobody's ever heard of and you've only got four of them, best to just leave that off and use other things to promote.
Yes, I agree. Yes. Now, you can, even folks that you've done free presentations to, those are considered clients, so don't discount that. If you've been asked to speak with different groups, a lot of times organizations will not pay for your time to present, but it's still prestigious to speak with them, so definitely include them on your list.
Absolutely. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg. We're here today with Karen Saunders, who's teaching us about how to create a stellar one sheet for speakers and for anybody else who wants to promote a specific opportunity for others. So we'll be right back after a commercial break.
Is it ever your turn to come up with fresh ideas for parties, events, or retreats? Check out the 26 fully developed theme sets at ideasforwomensministry.com. That's ideasforwomensministry.com. Ideas, publicity templates, and more. ideasforwomensministry.com.
Welcome back. Marnie's friends, we're here today with Karen Saunders, who is a graphic artist, and she's training us today on how to put together a stellar speaker one sheet. And she is the person who knows how to do this. You've done so many. And you've also won some pretty wonderful awards for graphic art design of book covers and your own book. You actually won some awards for your own book. And I'm looking for the name of that book here. I want to make sure I get it right. Turn Eye Appeal into Buy Appeal. And what were the awards about that you won for that book?
I won several awards. One was the Apex Award. That is award for ebook publications, and that book was actually an e-book to begin with, and then I converted it into an actual paperback softcover book. And at that time, I entered it in the Colorado Independent Publishers Association and received the Best of Show Award for the best book published that year, plus the second place cover design and first place interior layout design. So very proud of that award.
That's just great. And anybody can get that book from basically any bookstore, but also from Karen's own website, which is macgraphics.net. Do you want to spell that for us, Karen?
Mac, M-A-C, like in Macintosh, graphics, graphics.net. It's not a com, it's a net.
Great. Okay. Well, we're here talking about the credentials part of the one sheet, so let's go back to that.
Yes, we were talking about the list, the client list, and now I'd like to move on to the next component, which is a call to action and contact information. Call to action on Steve's page, on page 3 on our handout, is ask for Steve's offbeat version of a financial quiz, call him today. That is an actual call to action sentence, and you do want to put a sentence like that on the bottom of the back page to really ask for people to take action, whether they call you or go to your website or check out a free downloadable item, anything of that nature.
That is so cool. Now, this is Marnie, and I'm the web hostess of womenspeakers.com, which is the largest women speakers directory online. And just going through this with you right now, there are a couple things we need to change over there on their profiles, because first of all, their bios come way too soon. They need to have that first section be, what do you call that, the section where you say what's the real problem that the hiring person has? What do you call that little section?
Well, that is the addressing the target. I don't know if there's really.
We don't have a name. We have to come up with a name for that, Karen. You and I.
Well, as you know, all marketing, you know, is not listing features, but you're trying to solve
benefits.
People's problems.
Right. So we could call it the benefits box.
Yeah, the benefits box.
Oh, see, there we did it right there. Perfect. Okay.
All right.
So that's great. And, you know, we have no place on there. I've never trained anybody to put a call to action on the bottom of their page. And, of course, that's just obvious. Of course, we should do that. So thank you for that.
Yep. Those are things that people tend to forget. Plus,
mm-hmm.
you also need your contact information, whether it's you want them to know your email or website or toll-free number. Make sure you dial those numbers before you get them printed, because it's
good
so
idea.
Easy.
Good idea.
Transpose. Yeah, I've seen that happen so many times. And if you just take the time to dial a number and send yourself an email, know that, you know, that's correct. So,
you know, this is Marnie. That's a really good idea. Anytime you're working with the media or an event planner in any way, I just a couple weeks ago, I got a call back from a very frustrated radio producer, and he said, "You put the wrong number in your email." He said, "I've been just trying to find your number." You know, they really don't have time for that. They really don't have time to go searching out your number. And it was amazing that he had followed through with me, but just make sure to get the numbers right.
Exactly.
It seems so obvious, but sometimes it just gets missed.
The next component is a portrait shot and or action shots of yourself. So it's always great to be able to hire a professional photographer with the professional lighting equipment to get some shots of you at a gig early on, so you have those action shots. Or you can just stage it yourself at a studio. But definitely get those professional shots of yourself.
Yeah.
They come in handy in so many different ways. The next component is an overall component, which is the brand. Now, oftentimes speakers start out and they want to address a number of different things, and they really haven't created a unique brand for themselves. And that's a process that every speaker needs to go through. And in this whole brand assessment process, you come up with your look, your style, your fonts, your colors, your message, your target audience, and your niche. And you really need to spend some time on that before you spend all this money on marketing.
Yeah. No, I know. Just a couple weeks ago on Blog Talk Radio here, we had Linda Lopek, and she offered just an incredible branding course. If people want to work on that by themselves, go back to just if you type in MarnieLive.com, you'll be able to get all the archives of everything we've done on training here for speakers and people who have a message to get across. That branding training as part of that. But now, Karen, sometimes when people come to you for graphic artwork, do you also help them with the branding side?
Yes, sometimes they have their brand established and sometimes they don't. And
uh-huh.
if they don't, I do offer that as well. I have a team of experts who I've surrounded myself with who do different aspects of graphic design, copywriting, branding, websites. They all specialize in a certain area of this whole umbrella, and I can pull together the people I need to put together those components to really come off with a polished one sheet. Oftentimes what happens then is we'll create a one sheet and then also a website, and they go hand in hand with the same brand and design, and we can leverage the copy that we use on the one sheet on the website to save some money.
Sure. Sure, sounds good.
Yeah. One of the other things that you come up with when you do your brand is your tagline and your logo, and that those are two different very specialized activities. We do the logos, and I have somebody who's just fabulous with taglines. So all of that needs to come together, and that way when you have your one sheet out there, people see a complete package.
Right.
Other things, other components, including organizational logos for associations. If you're a member of NSA or Coach University or a number of other prestigious organizations, you'll want to have that on the one sheet. And then last but not least is white space. You definitely want to have a one sheet that looks like it's friendly, inviting, and doesn't read like a book. It's got a little bit of white space there to make it user-friendly.
Right, right.
So usually what I do is I try to limit the number of words to below 700 for a double-sided one sheet.
Total for both sides?
Yeah, total, complete total, between $800 words.
Okay.
Between 700 and 800 words is what we're limiting that content to.
Wow. Wow. That's just so specific. And for people who haven't done anything like this, that's just exactly the kind of information we need. Thank you so much. Well, we're here today with Karen Saunders. We're about halfway through this show on how to create a stellar one sheet. We're going to come right back and keep on going. Hang in there.
How are you doing emotionally? Do you get down sometimes? Tap into the resources at successattitudes.com. That's right, successattitudes.com. I started this blog as part of the Recession PMA project to combat the barrage of bad news that is brainwashing us into depression almost every single day. Get your fix of good news at successattitudes.com.
For those of you who are listening on live, this is Marnie Swedberg, and welcome back to Marnie's Friends. For those of you who are listening online, for some reason I'm not able to type into my chat area here, so just know if I'm not responding to you, that's why I hit my buttons and nothing works on my keyboard. So something got locked up here in the process, but know that I know that you're there and I'm happy to see you. Also, for those of you who are on the just calling in without being online, welcome to you. And for those of you who want to call in at any point, you can always do that too. If you need to leave your computer screen, you can always call in to 646-727-2510 and join us by phone. Well, welcome back, Karen Saunders. You're just doing an awesome job, and I don't want to take up any extra minutes here because I know you've got a lot more ground to cover. So let's keep on going.
Okay. Well, we've covered page, all the way through page 3 on the handout. And
out of 40. We have 30 minutes left.
Oh. Well, most of those pages are sample one sheets, so
okay,
those are
good.
Things we can look at. The next page is another speaker, Doug Butler, who talks about cowboy wisdom, and you can see as you read through this, we don't have to read it right now, but it shows you the different areas we have already been talking about, target audiences and benefits and client lists and so forth. And his brand is all about the cowboy, so that's how that whole thing was set up.
Let me just interrupt for a second there. On his, he puts the about on the front side. No rules about that? That's okay?
The about.
About Doug Butler on the right-hand side. So you've got his keynote information there where he's answering the question, you know, what's your biggest pain and how can I help? And then on the right-hand side, he puts about himself on the front side. Now, with our previous example, that was on the back side, I think.
Yeah, that's he had enough room there to put that on the front side. And like I say, nothing is really carved in stone, but he had enough room there to put it on the front.
Okay.
So, Yep. So, as you can see, he's got some very unique things that he addresses and has something called the Cowboy Code with the CODE, and that's his whole message in his presentation, so we made a little box for that. So, using a lot of personality, you really want to separate yourself from all the others. I know there's a lot of people who do motivational and leadership type of presentations, and you really have to have a special hook for yourself, whether you know you're going to hang it on to a cowboy type of a lesson or maybe something with the inspirational leadership based on your mountain climbing experiences or something. You want something that really separates you.
It's interesting here on his second page, on the back left-hand bottom corner, instead of listing who he's already spoken to here, he lists a group of people who might be interested in having him come, which is a great idea for somebody who doesn't already have a long list of companies that they've already spoken at.
Yes, uh-huh. That is another way of seeking out the right target market. Okay, so we can move on here to the next couple of pages on how to make your one sheet float above the rest. Now, you did mention my book, Turn Eye Appeal into Buy Appeal, page 7 and several pages thereafter are actual excerpts from my book, and the book is really targeted to people who just want some sound bites on how to improve the look of marketing materials. And so this is how I do it. It's very short chapters like this, and just really point out a few things that you can do to really make a big difference in the way your marketing materials look. For example, letting one thing dominate instead of a lot of little things that take your eye here and there. You want something that dominates over the rest of the page, and that gives it your eye a resting point to start with. And in this case, we have Diane Sieg's one sheet with her in her red dress. That's definitely a starting point there.
Right, exactly. That's definitely where your eye goes.
Right.
So that's just kind of a principle for any marketing piece, is that if there's too many focal points, then the eye doesn't know what to do.
Exactly. This even applies for websites as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I put in a lot of really tried and true design principles into this book.
Is there a whole chapter on that then? That's the title of one chapter?
One chapter is on all the aspects of laying out.
Oh, all of these. Okay.
Yeah. So we have a number of little tidbits that you can open up and look into. Yeah.
Okay. So then the second one is minimize font variety.
That's right. Oftentimes you can see that something designed by an amateur by just looking at how many fonts are in the piece. And people tend to get a little wild and crazy. They want to use every little font that they see on their menu, and it just comes off as looking very disorganized. So you really want to use one or two different fonts and the family members of that font, which include the bold, the italic, and items like that.
Different sizing, yeah.
Right, different sizes and that kind of thing.
Yep. Cool.
And the other reason why this picture of Diane works so well there in that corner is because I use a cutout silhouette of that photo. So she really just stands out on the page. It provides an organic structure around that corner and just makes it much more interesting to look at than just a regular rectangle that the photo originally was in.
Even the black line that comes up and angles across the top just adds so much professionalism to this that wouldn't be there if it weren't there. It's so interesting how the little touches really give it that polish.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just a little bit of structure there and a lot of white space, and it just comes off as looking very nice.
Cool. And
okay.
Then white space, of course. We need some white space.
Yep, we've got that. And then we move on to page 8, which gives you some other elements. It's sort of a continuation of what we're doing, just giving you some sound bites of how to improve the look, using alignment and clip art. Make sure you use quality clip art. There's a wide range of clip art. I would have stayed away from it for many years, but it's really come up in quality in some of these artists' collections. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and one thing too, one thing that's getting interesting now, especially with iStock Photo and the different photos things out there, is that you don't want to necessarily take your photo off of the one of the front few pages that say, 22,000 people have already downloaded this particular piece of clip art. And
yeah.
What's interesting is that people who really should know better about that are still doing it. So, for example, one of the gals that I work with had a book published, and the publisher literally took a picture off of one of those sites and put it on her book, and she started seeing it everywhere. I mean, it was just all over, and here it was the cover design of her book. And that's really disappointing, and it also just shows a lack of professionalism when you select something that's just really a generic piece. You want to pick something that's very unique to you, just like you are unique.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you're right. Well, iStock Photo and some of these royalty-free sites, you could pick a picture that's been used on a number of different things, and people will get confused, as to what if this is belonging to someone else or...
Right. It sounds like we lost Karen. Karen, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, the next point then down there is contrast.
Yes, contrast is interesting. It is contrasting between size, between colors, or shapes. It just provides some more interest to the piece. So you can vary little pictures with big pictures, and that provides the contrast as well as the white space.
Okay.
Repetition, if you look at Marguerite Ham's one sheet there, we have repetition in the way we have treated all the text. She's got four words that represents the M-O-R-E and the word more, and each one of those words is repeated with the same style of font and color and size. So that's how we do repetition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a balance between contrast and repetition that creates good design. And again, like I said, I'm not teaching you to become a designer, but just to be aware of what things you could use.
Sure.
Alignment and proximity. Alignment is just using your grid lines on the design programs such as InDesign or Quark Express, whatever you're using. You can use those grid lines to help align objects and columns of text, and that gives it much more structure and balance and organization as well. Proximity refers to how close you have something to something else to group it as a sort of a subliminal type of grouping. for example, on Marguerite's one sheet there, we have her name right below her photo, and I purposely put it close to the photo so that it would be grouped within that same area, and that's what we're working with, is proximity.
So the eye takes in the whole picture, but it takes in especially just a snapshot of a portion of it at once. And so what you're trying to do is get everything that's about that little section when it's just a snapshot. Is that kind of the
thinking?
Right.
The eye will take in the picture and anything that's connected with it in proximity. So if we had moved that word, Marguerite's name, down an inch, it would not have been included in that picture with your eye taking a snapshot of it. So,
yeah.
That's all part of using design. It's little themes like that.
Yeah, really cool.
Okay, so now we're on page 10, and we're going to discuss the most common mistakes.
Oh, yay.
The most common mistake is, Marty. Marty.
Not making a one sheet, I don't know.
Probably a lot, right?
Well, there's so many things you could do wrong, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I think the top three are we don't keep the audience in mind. The person will start talking about themselves and, speak of themselves as the greatest. This is what I'm about. Instead of looking at it, from the what benefit can I be of you? What problem can I solve for you? That's the way the writing needs to be. The benefits really need to be highlighted rather than the what features you offer. So,
oh, I tell you what, if I didn't realize that life is just, living on, learning to play a violin in public, that's what I always think life is. Just, you just stand up here doing this thing. Because really, I just have to tell you that even though womenspeakers.com is just a hugely popular website and people go there all the time, I'm doing that totally wrong. I'm having them do their bio first. And that's just, it's the biggest, it's one of the biggest mistakes speakers make, and I made it, times a thousand.
Oh.
So, but that's okay. It's something we can fix. So that's cool. We'll work toward getting that fixed. I'm so glad, though. I'm so glad that you brought this up, because it's been something that has bothered me, but I didn't know why. So now having the clarity of thought that says, the reason that it bothers you that they have a long bio right at the top of their thing is because that's not what belongs there. People want to know that information, absolutely, which was my quandary. We've got to put it in there, but it doesn't need to be first.
Right, right.
Thank you.
I'm glad I could help you there.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, what's the second one?
Second one is the design is not professional. Mm. And like I said at the beginning, it often reflects how you are as a speaker. It may not be correct, but
right.
And as a reflection of how you can be paid, if they think that you're an amateur speaker, then maybe you don't need to be paid as much. So you won't have as much of a strong credibility to lean on for negotiating your rate. And the third one is too many words. It's way too many words. Try to be concise with your words and pull out subtitles where you can, to really stop the paragraph and have a concept that's clearly stated. That's where having an editor really helps, to help you cut down and be concise and to polish those words.
Yeah. This is just such good information. We're going to take one more break and come back for the end of our show with Karen Saunders. So excited to have you here today, Karen. We'll be right back.
Okay, ladies, who in your circle of friends would be an awesome speaker for local church women's teas, scrapbooking retreats, and stuff like that? We all have friends who are great speakers, but hardly anyone knows they exist. Right now, send a message to your speaker friend and encourage her to register at womenspeakers.com, the largest online Christian women's speakers directory in the world. There are free and paid listings available, and you know what? Your friend is going to love you for telling her about womenspeakers.com.
Well, welcome back. We're here today with Karen Saunders, the author of Turn Eye Appeal into Buy Appeal, which is available at any major bookstore, or from McGraphicsNet, which is MacGraphicsNet. And welcome back, Karen. You are talking to us right now about what's often lacking in a one-sheet. So we just found out what speakers do wrong, but what do we forget?
Well, often lacking is no theme or brand. They just start off and just paste everything on there, and there really is no general theme to it. You are really branding yourself as a unique speaker, and you need to have that hook and that look and the brand that really defines yourself. So that's one of the most often lacking in beginner speakers when they come to me.
Yeah, this is Marnie, and I just want to encourage you, if you are a beginning speaker, everybody starts where we're at. We just start where we're at. And a lot of beginning speakers, especially the gals that I work with, a lot of beginning speakers are never going to aspire to get paid a lot or go do a lot. What they want to do is they just want to go up the street to the church there and tell their story about how they adopted somebody or how, you know, they lived through life after having an abortion or whatever, you know, whatever their story is. That's really what they want to do. And a one sheet for you is going to not necessarily have to be as beautiful and polished and branded as it would be for someone who really has their sights set on doing this many weekends or many weeks a year, traveling and speaking. Of course, the bar is raised with every different level of professionalism that you're going to aspire to speaking at. So be sure to, you know, if you're just starting out, you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to have a one sheet created by someone else. If you're just starting out, do what you can, do the best you can, and learn from this. But if you're farther along down the road, having something that's very professional and polished is going to make a big difference to people's first impression of you, whether it's on a piece of paper like the one sheet or whether it's your website or even your profile at womenspeakers.com or wherever, whatever it is. The higher up the rung you want to go in this speaking industry and the speaking opportunities, the more professional you need to be. And it's a process. You don't start at the top. Everybody starts giving free speeches at local places, in return for a thank you or a plant or whatever. So now we're going to move on to, we've got a sample here. It looks like it's a website sample.
Yes, what I've decided to do is to show you how you can leverage the brand that you've established for your one sheet along with your website and your business card, your letterhead, and any other collateral material that you put together. And you can see how this brand has really flowed through Christy T's, all her samples there. It actually makes it easier for all those specialists. If you're going to hire a designer or a website designer, that they all are on the same page as far as what the look is, so you don't have to reinvent it every time.
Yeah, yeah. That's just awesome. For me personally, I started all of this backwards. I did this all backwards. I am just now at this stage, trying to figure all this out. And it's interesting. As soon as I've been making the changes with the branding, the colors being more cohesive between sites and different things, it's interesting how much positive feedback I've gotten just right away.
Yep, that all shows off. Now, if we move to page 13, you'll see Barbara McNichol, who is a great friend of mine and a fantastic editor, has put together this little one-sheet worksheet. And this is really helpful for getting you to wrap your mind around what it is you need to do to craft the words for your one-sheet. And you can use this and print it out and start putting together your words. Don't worry about the word count yet. Just get the information down, and then from there you can polish it and edit it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think it's very helpful. She's done a real good job putting
that
together.
That's probably going to be your shortest ever instructional page on how to come up with that. That's pretty great. You can get it on one page. That takes a lot of talent. It takes a lot more talent, actually, to write it briefly than it does to write it long, you know, the long method.
It does. It does. That's why logos, people look at a finished logo and they think, well, that looks so simple and easy, but the process it took, it takes much more process to come to a design of that than some brochures or, you know, any other designs.
Well, we just have a couple minutes left here, but Karen, I'm looking at the next page. Award-winning book, Turn Eye Appeal into Buy Appeal, and there you are.
Yep.
Supercharge your marketing with Turn Eye Appeal. And this is this your book jacket?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yep.
That's the book, and that's what you can get at my website.
What size is that book, Karen?
Is it 8.5 by 11.
I was going to say, it's almost too much information to fit on a smaller jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is 8.5 by 11, and it's full color, lots of color samples and examples throughout the book, and you can get it as a downloaded book or a printed book or, you know, on a CD, so whatever format you prefer. And if you do buy a book today, what I'll do is I'll put the cost of the book towards a custom design one sheet if you plan to hire me in the future.
Wow.
The future, and we'll just put the cost towards that custom design price.
These shows always get listened to after the fact, Karen. If they mention that they heard it on Marnie and Friends, can they get that later too?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Yeah. Any of your listeners.
Super.
And then following that that page, we have a number of one sheets. these are one sheets.
Just so helpful. So helpful to be able to look at them.
Yeah. My designers have put together over the years. So lots of variety to look at.
It's just so great. There's just so much to think about here. I wonder, did you have anything else you wanted to go to? Otherwise, we could go to the line and just see if anybody had a question.
No, I think I've pretty much covered everything.
Okay, great. I'm going to just open up the line here, and I know we've got several callers on here. I'm going to unmute you all at once if I possibly can here. Oh, my goodness. I wonder if this is going to let me do anything. Oh, I cannot unmute the callers either. Well, this switchboard is not being my friend today.
Oh,
that's so too bad. Oh, well, that's okay. Some of the things that I think that we could go back and spend a little more time on, though, when you get to the call to action sentence, your goal is to get them to pick up the phone or to email you if you're online. You know, the email, contact me right now. And what are some of the reasons that somebody would do it right then? I mean, do you have to offer them something for free, or what is the best way to get them to actually take action?
I think the best action that you want them to do is actually go to your website.
Okay.
And so at the website, they can see more information about you. Keep in mind the one sheet is just a snapshot. You've got
right.
a lot more information on your website about yourself. And then also you can get them on a mailing list by offering a free report or any kind of a free item in exchange for their email address.
Right.
So if you don't hear from them that day, at least you can follow up with them later.
Right. They can be on a newsletter mailing list or something like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And oftentimes that's what happens is people don't hire right away. They're doing some research, and then they put you in the back of their mind or maybe put you on a favorite. But if they're on your list and you're sending your newsletter out every month, you may not be aware of them every month, but they definitely are aware of you every month. And when the time comes to hire or you know, have you as a speaker somewhere, you're right there and fresh in their mind.
Right, right. Now, when people are building their websites, do you, like a speaker, for example, specifically, do you recommend that they almost create their front page as if it were a one sheet?
Not a whole one sheet. More
okay.
or less the first side of a one sheet is what their front page will be. A lot of the information that's on the front page of a one sheet will go on the front page of their website, but then we've got the navigation items too. So
right.
it's similar yet different.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, we just have a couple minutes left. I guess, is there any other words of wisdom that you would give to the callers today as they're thinking about possibly creating a a one sheet for themselves?
Well, give yourself enough time to really sit back and do it right. One sheets can be edited and changed, but, so often I get a call from someone is they want their one sheet done in 2 days, and it's just not enough time to really give it justice.
Do it,
so
good job.
If you're doing this, just give yourself enough time to really think it through and get your brand set and make sure the right information is on there.
Then what type of paper is that printed on? Usually it's just not regular paper.
Well, one sheets these days are more often just PDF files, but we do small runs of the printed version, and I have a source in Canada who prints them on 80-pound coated stock with an aqueous coating on them. It's a fantastic price for a nice, substantial paper. It's not thick like a business card, but it's not thin like typing paper either. It's sort of a in between that, and it has a nice gloss to it. So
now it's called 80-pound coated stock, and what did it have kind of finish on it?
It had an aqueous coating on it.
Okay.
As a special coating that's added to the sheet after it's printed.
Ah, okay. Yeah, cool. Very cool. Well, we have had just a bucket load of information here from you today. I wish we could get to the callers and let them ask a few questions, but I just can't access that right now. And, in fact, we're going to have to close this down just a bit early. I'm going to have to reboot this whole computer. We've got another call coming right after this. We do coaching the group over at the other website. If you go to Marnie Live, you'll be able to get that URL to go ahead and join us in a few minutes for coaching the group. Karen, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the incredible gift that you gave us today in the downloadable PDF. It's just full of great ideas as well as practical and specific information, and I'm very grateful to you for sharing that so freely.
You're welcome.
And listeners, I hope that you will go and visit Karen at her site, which is macgraphics.net, 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 and check out her book, Turn Eye Appeal into Buy Appeal. Thank you, Karen Saunders. Thank you, listeners, for being here. I hope you guys have a great day. And for those of you who are women's ministry leaders or who are interested in sharing some spring event ideas about women's ministry groups, join us at Coaching the Group next. Thank you all. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.